Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago, there lived a man named Joseph who had dreams. No one believed his dreams, but still he was a beloved son of his father. He was young and vibrant, and everything in his life seemed perfect. But then one day, it all changed. As he went out into the wilderness to find his brothers at his father's request, his brothers fell upon him because they were jealous of him and how their father loved him more. The brothers grabbed him and bound him and threw him into a dry well. They faked his death by tearing his coat of many colors and covering it in the blood of a lamb. And then they sold him into slavery to Midianite traders. But the Lord was with Joseph. While his father mourned at the news of his son's death, Joseph was carried away into Egypt and sold as a slave in the house of Potiphar. And the Lord was with him. And soon he became like a head in Potiphar's house. And everything that he touched and did for Potiphar was blessed. But then one day his life changed again. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph and commit adultery with him, but he refused her and he fled away naked from her. She accused him of rape, and though even Potiphar did not believe his wife's charges, Potiphar had no choice but to have him thrown in prison. Still, the Lord was with Joseph. In this Egyptian prison, Joseph soon became as one of the trusted guards, even doing the work of the guards. He interpreted dreams of fellow prisoners, and what he said in their interpretation came true. But still, he remained in prison. This was certainly not what the young Joseph had hoped for in his life. But the Lord did not abandon him. Soon Pharaoh had a disturbing dream sent by God that no one in the kingdom could interpret. Finally, one of Pharaoh's servants remembered Joseph and his ability, and Joseph was called to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. When the Pharaoh told him the story and asked for the interpretation, Joseph admitted that he could not interpret it, but that his God could give the answer. And then by the answer that the Lord gave to Pharaoh through Joseph, all of Egypt was prepared for the 7 years of famine that were coming. Israel too would benefit from this providence of God, from the miraculous word from Joseph provided by God through this dream. In time, Joseph would become second in power in Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh himself. And everything that Joseph touched and did, God blessed because Joseph believed. Joseph suffered many things, but God worked them all for good. And who could have imagined the final course of his life? In our text for this last Sunday in Advent, we learn of another Joseph, a descendant of Israel from the tribe of Judah, a son of David, who was pledged to be married. Everything in his life seemed perfect. But one day, it all quickly changed. He learned that his fiancée was pregnant, and she claimed that it was by a miraculous word spoken from an angel. Who's going to believe that? Since Joseph knew he wasn't the father, it certainly appeared as though his bride-to-be had been unfaithful to him. What was he to do? Being engaged was a formal binding agreement, terminated only by a public divorce. But Joseph was a righteous man, the text says, very much like his namesake. And so he had made up his mind to divorce her quietly. You see, he knew that the punishment for divorce could be public stoning to death. But Joseph had no desire to bring harm, not even public disgrace, to this woman that he loved. But neither could he marry her. His life was turned upside down in a moment. But the Lord was with Joseph. And who could see what was yet to come in his life? Before Joseph acted on his decision, he slept for a night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And when Joseph woke up, he did exactly what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. This was the first of many dreams that would come to Joseph regarding this child in Mary's womb. It's perhaps an unsatisfactory dream to Joseph because the angel doesn't explain anything in the dream. He doesn't explain the mysteries of the conception of this child. He doesn't tell Joseph what will be with this child. But still, Joseph doesn't wake up from his dream and complain. He doesn't wake up and ask God for an answer to these questions. He simply believes. And in believing, he is blessed. He's okay knowing that God is in control, that Joseph doesn't have all the answers, but that God does. He's okay that even though his personal plans have now changed dramatically, this is obviously what God desires for him and for Mary and for the benefit of his creation. It remains an amazing fact to me that not a single word of Joseph is ever recorded in Holy Scripture. Not one word. Instead, his faith is seen in not questioning the angel and God. His faith is seen in his actions. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Only by faith in what God had told him, he married his fiancée and cared for her and then for their son, which he named Jesus. Two Josephs, two radically different eras, but both men defined by episodes of possible adultery. One accused of it, one wondering about it in his bride. Both have dreams sent by God, in which an angel of the Lord visits them, comforts them, informs them, and directs them for the future. Both are righteous, God-fearing men looking for the consolation of Israel, and God worked through both of them to bring forth his salvation. At just the right time, God sent his son into the world, born of Mary the Virgin, just as he prophesied, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But what does all of this mean for us? How can these two Josephs and all of their dreams, their miraculous birth, the miraculous birth that is foretold, all of the mysteries surrounding how God works, how can any of these things have anything to do with us today? The answer, whether it satisfies your curiosity or not, is also found in the simple words of the angel to Mary's Joseph. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's what it's all about. Apart from the forgiveness of sins, nothing in this life, nothing in all of history, past, present, or that which is yet to be, matters at all. Without forgiveness, there is no real joy. Without forgiveness, there is no purpose to this life. Without forgiveness, there is no rescue from sin and death. Without forgiveness, there can be no peace on earth. My sins are real. Are yours? I struggle with them every single day. What about you? I have not kept the commandments and loved God or my neighbor as he demands. I know them well, and I know that I break them all the time. I have real sins. Therefore, I need a real Savior. Not just someone who comes and sets a good example that I'm supposed to follow and earn my way into heaven. I don't need a high-energy motivational speaker whose understanding is a mile wide but an inch deep. I don't need someone to pick up the slack for me. Certainly not someone who's going to encourage me to look into my own heart to find the answer to all my problems. I don't need a dedication to God. I need the real thing. I need to be washed. I need to be drowned in real water that saves. I don't need to eat a little piece of bread and drink a sip of wine. I need body and blood that has come down from heaven to forgive and sustain and to strengthen and to save me. I don't need an "it's okay" to my sins or a "don't worry about it." I certainly don't need "just forgive yourself." No, I need an absolution, a spoken word of forgiveness from God Himself. My sins are real, and I know the very real death that I have earned by them. And so by God's Spirit, I have also come to know the very real need that I have for a real flesh and blood Savior, a Savior who can pay what I cannot, a Savior who can defeat sin and death, and then pick me up out of the well of death, breathe life into me again, deliver me from slavery, not in Egypt, but to sin. A Savior that calms my fears, silences my questions, and carries me in righteousness, even in spite of myself. And that is exactly what and who Jesus is. The flesh and blood seed of the woman, the Savior promised by God in the Garden of Eden, and then sent by God in time, in His perfect time, born of the Virgin Mary, to save His people from their sins. While the world celebrates this holiday season by sharing gifts and decorating trees and taking time off work and being with family and friends, all very good things, many in this world still do not know their real need, their real sin, and they also don't know their real Savior either. It is far too easy to get lost in the trappings of this season, to get caught up in the mad rush, and then to miss this most important thing, to miss Jesus' forgiveness of sins, to miss everything that He gives to us in His Word and sacraments. But that is what this season is about. That's who this season is about. For without Jesus, the one who forgives sins, there is no Christmas. Without Jesus, there's no reason to celebrate. Without Jesus, there's no real and lasting life, only death. Much has changed since Joseph ruled in Egypt, since the second Joseph took Mary as his wife. Certainly much more will change in the years yet to come. But what has not changed is the fact that we are all sinners, that we have a great need of a Savior, and that Jesus has come to save sinners. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Almighty God. He is your flesh and blood Savior, and He has forgiven you for all of your sins against Him and against your neighbors. He bled and died for you, a real sacrifice for real sinners. He loves you more than words, but even in actions. He is your only rest and peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Just as God was with both of these Josephs, working for their good and for their salvation, so is He with you to save you. And He has not left you or forsaken you, but sent His Son to give you life and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who, for some other reason, are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.